I'm John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show. Hotel Mars, episode N. We're launching from Mars soon enough. We're launching with a robot, a bot, a NASA robot, with a very, very ambitious mission. Dr. David Livingston, Dr. Space himself, joins me as my co-pilot. David, good evening to you. Launching from Mars is always exciting. It's exciting to anticipate. We are looking to later in the 21st century when the colony will talk back to us and they'll be talking governance issues. But right now, we're still studying our neighbor, the red planet. Curiosity is on the surface in Gale Crater, traveling very carefully, doing some heavy-duty geology soon enough. But in the meantime, all of the Martian ecosystems are of great concern. Not just the land, but the sky, the atmosphere. And we welcome Dr. David Brain, Assistant Professor, Laboratory for Atmospheric and Space Physics and the Department of Astrophysical and Planetary Sciences at the University of Colorado. A very cool job. Most importantly, he is co-investigator for the MAVEN mission to Mars, launching in November 2013. David, a very good evening to you. MAVEN, what is it? What does it look like, and what is your mission statement? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, and thanks for having me. MAVEN stands for the Mars Atmospheric and Volatile Evolution Mission, and that means that the mission will study what happened to the Martian atmosphere over the last 4 billion years. And there's a big mystery with the Martian atmosphere. We see evidence on the surface right now that liquid water was abundant in the past. We see dried up riverbeds. We see lake beds. We see minerals that form only in the presence of liquid water. But the atmosphere today is incapable of supporting liquid water at the surface. And so we infer from this that something changed in the atmosphere, that the atmosphere used to be able to support liquid water, that the atmosphere was quite possibly thicker and the temperatures at the surface were warmer. And we want to know what happened. And we're sending MAVEN to help get at this fundamental question of what happened to the Martian atmosphere.
David?
Two Davids. That's going to be fun tonight. Hi, Dave. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
From what I'm reading, MAVEN is going to be looking at and trying to figure out about atmospheric gases that have been lost to space from the upper atmosphere. So what constitutes the boundaries of the upper atmosphere of Mars? What do you consider upper atmosphere?
That's a very good question. So MAVEN at times will get down to altitudes as low as 125 kilometers or so. And I know that doesn't sound very low, but anything above, I'd say, 80 or 100 kilometers is considered upper atmosphere at Mars. And from 125 kilometers on up, there are significant numbers of charged particles, and there are neutral particles, neutral atmospheric gases as well. And we really want to understand the structure of this part of the upper atmosphere, because this region is really the reservoir, the holding tank for particles that are escaping away to space.
Dave, we're speaking to Dr. David Brain, and he's a co-investigator on MAVEN. This is a robot. It's a large robot. It was transported to Cape Canaveral, old-fashioned of me, the Kennedy Space Center at Cape Canaveral, and it's launching in November. It's got a lot of instruments in this one little package, and I want to go through some of them, Dr. Brain, to understand what you hope from each of these. The suprathermal and thermal ion composition, the solar energetic particles, the solar wind ion analyzer, the solar wind electron analyzer, those aren't for Mars, right? Those are perceiving how Mars is existing in our solar system the way we do. Is that correct, Dave?
That's correct. Those instruments that you just mentioned all make local measurements, and they all measure particles, hopefully atmospheric gases, although two of them there that you mentioned, the two or three of them that you mentioned, will also measure particles coming from the sun. And it's the interaction of the sun with the gases in the upper atmosphere that drives these escape processes, that gives particles in the atmosphere enough energy to escape. And so these instruments on MAVEN, as MAVEN is orbiting the planet, will essentially sniff these particles, collect these particles, and tell us what their composition is, what their energies are, and help us piece together how the upper atmosphere is constructed and how it's interacting with the sun and the solar wind.
Four more. Imaging ultraviolet spectrometer, Langmuir probe and waves, neutral gas and ion mass spectrometer. This is cool stuff. And magnetometer. I got that one. Are we looking at whether the atmosphere is capable of protecting colonists on the surface? Is that part of the experiment?
rather than looking forward, I prefer to think of MAVEN as looking backward, and it still has to do with habitability of the planet, in my opinion. It's not so much whether the atmosphere is capable of protecting colonists on the surface, hopefully 10 years from now or 20 or 30, but it is directly relevant for whether the atmosphere was habitable, whether the planet was habitable over the past hundreds of millions or more likely billions of years, whether life ever could have existed there in the past. And we have this sort of photographic and chemical evidence from the surface telling us that there was a more hospitable climate, but we don't understand what happened to it. Where did the atmosphere go? And MAVEN will help us with a really unconstrained part of this problem. Where did the atmosphere go? Could it have gone away to space? Was Mars habitable in the past?
David?
For those that are part of the Let's Terraform Mars school of thought, does MAVEN's information and data analysis help them determine if terraforming is a real possibility and over what period of time?
You know, that's a question that I haven't thought too much about before with regard to MAVEN, although I have thought about terraforming before. So let me try to answer on the fly here. I think that some of the measurements that MAVEN makes fundamentally tell us about the atmosphere, not only the upper reservoir of the atmosphere that I've been talking about so far, but also the lower portion of the atmosphere that is in constant communication with the top parts of the atmosphere. So I would say rather indirectly that MAVEN is teaching us about the atmosphere, and the more we learn about the atmosphere, the better we might be able to manipulate it, although I really don't like that word very much, but the better we might be able to use the atmosphere going forward to make it more hospitable. But I think there's another aspect to MAVEN that is also really compelling for me, and it's not Mars related at all, and I know this is a Hotel Mars segment, but I think Mars is actually really a very nearby laboratory for us to understand how planetary atmospheres work in general, not just in our solar system, but for planets orbiting stars very far away. And if we understand what it takes to make an atmosphere habitable by studying our nearby neighbor Mars, I think we get a sort of lever to understand whether atmospheres are habitable in other stellar systems as well. And so that is a really unique aspect for me to the MAVEN mission.
Dr. Brian, I ask you, for those who haven't been to a science fiction movie in the last year, what is terraforming?
Ah, terraforming. Well, Terra means Earth. It's a prefix that relates to terrestrial or Earth. Terraforming means changing a planet so that it is more Earth-like, therefore more habitable. So there are things that you could do on Mars, and in general, what you need to do at Mars is put more greenhouse gases in the atmosphere to warm it up. That's one thing you would need to do, because the surface temperature today averages about 60 degrees below freezing. On the warmest of summer days, it might get up to freezing on Mars. And there are many other things you might need to do to the atmosphere as well to make it more hospitable for humans. And so this idea of terraforming is how you go about changing the atmosphere of a planet so that we might go and live there without difficulty.
So we could swap our greenhouse gases. I think we could make a market out of that. David?
Yes.
These instruments are so sensitive. How do you protect them from the shock and vibration of launch to this multi-month ride through deep space, cold and heat, and get them there, and they're all in great working condition? What's your secret?
The secret is really good people on the team, and I'm not talking about myself here because I did not build any of the instruments, but I'm in constant awe of the people who design, not only design the instruments, but the people who build them. And they're built to withstand certain amounts of temperature change, for example, particle impacts on the spacecraft. And not only are they designed to withstand a whole lot, but once they're built, they're tested. And many of them were tested at Lockheed Martin. Most of them, all of them were tested at Lockheed Martin here in Denver, among other places. And they were put through vibration testing. They were put through electromagnetic cleanliness testing. They were put through sonic testing to make sure that they could survive launch. Once they're on the spacecraft and have been launched away from Earth, many of the instruments will not deploy during the cruise to Mars. They will wait to be deployed. They will wait, for example, for the little hatch to open for the imaging ultraviolet spectrometer, perhaps. to protect them as long as possible until we need them to make science observations at Mars.
You're traveling for the launch in November, and you will do your work at Colorado. I learned from you. What is the length of mission you hope for? What is the possibility? We know the little rovers have gone on for years beyond the first horizon.
That's right. So we launch the week before Thanksgiving week. That's when the launch window opens, so November 18th. And it stays open for about 3 weeks. And then we have an approximately 10-month cruise to Mars, and we'll arrive with luck at the very end of September in 2014. We'll take about a month to commission the instruments. So by the end of October, the instruments will all have been checked out and will be ready to take science observations. And our nominal mission is one Earth year, which is only half of a Mars year. But we believe with this, even this short time, we can learn enough about the upper atmosphere to radically change our understanding, or at least to improve our understanding in immense ways. However, the spacecraft is designed to last well beyond that, and I think that there are hopes and fuel aboard for the spacecraft to last into the mid-2020s, if possible. There's one other aspect here, and that is that MAVEN is carrying a relay, what's called a relay, and two other spacecraft at Mars are currently carrying relays as well. And basically, these are communication instruments that can interact with the rovers on the surface, and the rovers can send their information through the relay on the orbiting spacecraft and back to Earth. So MAVEN has been equipped with a relay, and we're hoping that science observations, if we're doing good science, that science observations can continue for a long time. But even if those don't, MAVEN will still continue to do good work.
MAVEN, Mars Atmosphere and Volatile Evolution, MAVEN, on its way to the Smithsonian on the surface of Mars in the 22nd century, we can only hope. Dr. David Brain, Assistant Professor, Laboratory for Atmospheric Space Physics, Department of Astrophysical Planetary Sciences, University of Colorado. He is also co-investigator for the MAVEN. Dr. David Livingston, Dr. Space of the Space Show. I'm John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show.